Crows defeated Port by 24 points Saturday arvo at Footy Parks. Let's see if the Crows senior coach Phil Walsh is happy or not. Phil, thanks for your time.
No problem, Stephen.
Tad happier?
Yeah, look, we had some really good moments on Saturday, so probably of all the three games, that's the longest we've probably been able to sustain, you know, elements of the game that we're looking for.
And what pleased you the most? Which elements? I know you talk a lot of team defence. Yeah,
probably the team defence. I thought we had greater buy-in than we've probably had in the two previous games. And I thought we maintained our pressure on Port Adelaide for longer than we have against Geelong and North Melbourne.
I think you look much more cohesive. When you say team defence, if you get 14 or 15 doing it and 3 or 4 not, then it still breaks down. And I thought on the weekend it was 18.
Yeah, no, I was very happy with that, Mark. We debriefed that and the players, earned some trust. Both they had some greater trust in what I'm asking them to do, and I had some greater trust in them doing it.
And some nice headaches to have. I thought Laird was really solid down back, and if you mentioned Brown and Jentsch, who was being managed a little bit and he's out of the side, you're going to have to make some tough decisions on that small defending role.
Yeah, no, those small defenders played really well. I went and watched Matty Jentsch play at Alberton, and he had a solid game as well, so he'll come under consideration for round one.
John Worsfold was interesting, so he was involved and was there to give you some feedback. Is that going to be something that's ongoing, or is this just a one-off?
It's hard to get John's time. He's a busy man. He's got lots of things on, and to get 2 days of his time and it only cost me a bottle of wine was fantastic. But I'll contact John during the season when issues come up and I need advice. He's got great wisdom and I rate his views highly.
Hang on. We need to get him some more wine. We can ring Rusden any time you want. Is that the payment, is it, Phil? Is it just about a case of wine?
It was only a bottle, but it was a bottle of Hill of Grace 2005, and Woosher doesn't have fond memories of 2005. He was hoping for 2006. But
makes okay. a difference. Well,
can you point. Share any of the feedback he gave you?
Oh, look, John's really good with process, so he sat in on our meetings and then he actually met with all the coaches and just spoke to them about how he thinks an assistant coach can help a senior coach game day. And then what he was really good on game day at doing was clarifying things that I was asking. So I'd ask some questions of the assistant coaches or I'd make a statement and Woosher would question me, but what do you really mean by that, Phil? So it was really good. He's going to give me a little bit more feedback today and we're going to sit down as a coaching group and footy department and we'll just reflect on that.
You're the best man to know how it's working. I know it's a small sample, 3 NAB challenge games, one without Teague, by the way. That was the game at Port Lincoln, wasn't it? Teague wasn't in the
yes,
box.
Yes, that's right.
So your opinion, how do you think it's working game day?
Yeah, no, I've been really happy. I've been really happy with the coaching staff. So obviously I haven't worked with Campo and Darren and Doc Clark before, and I've been really happy with how that's all gelled together. And Teague, obviously, I've worked with before. And I actually sat in and watched the State League game at Alberton, and the way Heath was running his coaching group as well really impressed me. So it's a good start, but as we know, we'll have our challenges, Stephen, and then that's the important part. When we all do get challenged, do we stay connected or we disconnect?
Look, one of the things, stats-wise, that would have pleased you, the inside 50 numbers, you're significantly less than the opposition, but your efficiency in being able to score, first of all, was very good. So 36% goal efficiency going inside 50 from 45 entries is a really good one. And if you, the flip side of that, of course, is if Port Adelaide had 63 entries and you're able to limit their score, that means you're defending quite well their entries.
Yeah, stats, hey? You can you can twist them any way you want. They're on target for 60 inside 50s at one stage, so I wasn't very happy with that. I don't want to actually start my attack from that deep in the ground. So that actually didn't please me. But what I did like was the time in forward half, not in all the quarters, but in a number of the quarters, we played the game basically up our end.
Right, I guess that gives your defenders a chance to rest, get set behind the ball. Cam Ellis-Yolman continues to impress on the weekend again. He just showed that he's going to be a very valuable member of your team.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark. I watched Cam a little bit last year in the State League, and I think he had one run as a sub against Fremantle. Mm-hmm. And you look from afar, and I saw some really things I liked about him, but once I've got inside the club, what he's shown me in his 3 games is ability to win inside footy, and I didn't realise that was one of his great strengths. So he's got some sharpening up still to do. He's not a perfect player just as yet, but look, it's really encouraging signs, and he'd be in the mix for round one based on what he's done.
Is he scared to kick the ball, is he?
I had a word to him after the Geelong game. I thought he was better on Saturday, but I still think it's something where a young player, particularly when you win the ball in tight, that often you think that first person in front of you, and often it's a senior player, so you think you need to give them the ball, but there are times when you do need to kick the ball out of congestion, particularly when we just want to get our field position back.
So you reckon ramp it out? You want him just to kick it?
Oh, no, there's times to do that, but there's other times when you do need to look to spread the ball. There's a couple of centre bounces I wasn't happy with where we actually had numbers, so we actually could have chained the ball out and we actually kicked it straight down Broadbent's throat. So we showed a couple of those clips after the game.
I've never seen a bloke with longer arms than Cam Elisham. I don't know whether you've noticed. Rocket Maynard had him. He dragged his ankles on the ground. He has the longest. He might be 6'2", but he plays 6'4". Now, yep. That's a weapon if you can get him up and about inside stoppage.
Well, as we know, and I mean, I watched the Fremantle West Coast game last night. Obviously, still got a great interest in the West Coast squad, and you see Nate Fife there, and you know it's great to have a guy of that size and be able to do that. And Cam's a really nice size. He's 189, and on our list, we probably haven't got a lot of those bigger on ballers. So that's a nice weapon to have in your package.
Centre square clearance. It was terrible early, but you got on top of it.
Yeah, look, this is an interesting one for me, Stephen, because obviously last year I was in charge of stoppage. I'm a firm believer the senior coach shouldn't get involved in the stoppage area. You've got to back your people in a little bit. But I did get a little bit nervous there at the start. But we made some nice adjustments, and we actually did get on top. And then late in the game, I got disappointed again with our stoppage work. So that's an area we'll spend a little bit of time on between now and the North Melbourne game, because North Melbourne are a very strong inside team as well. And if you don't match it, I watched the Richmond game back as well already, and Richmond didn't match them inside early, and they were on the back foot.
A couple of times...
Can I just take you back with that? So you say the senior coach shouldn't get involved with the midfield coach. Did Ken get involved with you at all?
Yeah, Ken had questioned me. There's nothing wrong with questioning, but Ken would back me in. And sometimes I used to have to plead for him to let me have one more try at what I was trying to do. But probably that's one of the really good things that John Worswold spoke to me about as well. He said, as the senior coach, if you just get very concerned with one area, you'll forget what's actually going on in the whole game. And the most important stat, you know, Mark was talking stats, is the scoreboard. So as long as the scoreboard's in your favour, you don't have to change too much.
Hey, you, in your press conference, you talked about ground ball differential versus contested ball. Can you just explain why you like that stat?
Well, I'll answer it simply is when, and I don't want to sound dismissive of contested possession, but contested possessions is hit-outs to advantage. It's free kicks. Four. Mm. So all of a sudden, it's not a true stat, and it's contested marks as well. So I remember a game once where the stat kept coming back at me that we were well down in contested possession. So if I walked out to my midfield group and says, guys, we're getting smashed at contested possession, they automatically think we're getting beaten at ground level. Mm. When in fact what happened that day was we're getting beaten in contested marks. So you've got to be really clear. And for me, although contested possession is very important, 70% of contested possession is ground ball. So I want to know that number.
Mm. So that's the picture in people's mind when you say contested possession is those two players going for it. Thought Taylor Walker spent a bit more time closer to goal. There was just a period before half-time where Port Adelaide kicked two goals. Coming out of defence, you just lacked the big target there. Was that a by design or was it a mistake?
Yeah. It's an interesting one where what we've got as weapons in our forward line. Mm. So the look that I want to show a little bit, and Jenkins allows us to do that, is I like the look when we're a little bit taller, and that allows Walker to play higher up the ground. But I also like the look when we're a little bit smaller, because it makes it harder for opposition teams to match up against us. So on Saturday, it made it difficult for who Carlisle wanted to play on, because he probably was better suited to play on Jenkins. When Carlisle had to go to Walker, I was very happy then to get Walker more in that mid area of the ground where he had space in front of him and space behind him, not suited to Carlisle. Then they have to make the change. And then the other look we were able to go to is a little bit of Betts and a little bit of Danger one out with space. Mm. And that's another look that makes it difficult for the opposition. So there are times when you need that guy you can bail out to. Yep. But if you are moving the ball well and you can get quick ball movement, I think a small guy's in space is a nice look as well.
Yeah, and you were able to at different stages, manufacture getting off the mark a bit and clearing some congestion, which also work well. I get some injury problems. We've talked about Brad Crouch, which is a blow. Scott Thompson, we know a bit about. What's the seriousness with Sam Kerridge? How's he going with his hamstring?
So he did do a hamstring. He just did it in the warm-up. It's very minor. Mm. He did play NAB 1 against North. So he has got some game time in him, but both him and Scott, you know, they'd be real touch and go if I was to go with them for round one.
And we also had a report from someone that Matthew Wright was in a moon boot.
No, clearly wrong.
Have we touched on Brad Crouch? Have we? When did we do that?
Well, I think we got the email that came through that said...
Yeah, but what's your take on it? I had him for the BNF this year.
Yeah, look.
Fair dinkum. You kicked a black cat. I thought the black cat went.
Yeah, look. He's had a great pre-season. I actually rang his dad Saturday night after the game. I said, good news is we've got Matt back up and playing, but...
John, watch your channel. Brad, that looks like Matty Wright in the moon boot.
No, I think it was a compression band.
No, it's not a moon boot.
Okay, fair call.
Yeah, I rang
Channel 9.
Yeah, I rang Brad Crouch's dad Saturday night, and I said, I've got some good news and some bad news. So, look, he'll get back, though. He's a ripper kid. He's had some adversity. He knows how to overcome it.
Chalky bones.
Something
He's a good country lad. He should be eating milk.
Something wrong with Ballarat, I think, mate.
Well, she, what's some of the byproducts of 2013, 2014 that you're going to still need to get out? And one, if I could just mention, the midfielders around the contest, the method, they still get sucked in a little bit.
Yeah.
And you get scunned on the outside. I've seen three games. I know it's only a small sample. I'm still seeing it.
Yeah, all I could probably say to our fans out there, Stephen, we're doing a lot of work on it. So inside-outside method, it's really important how the game's played. I thought Geelong beat us in that. Geelong are probably one of the best teams at it. They back their teammate to win the ball inside, very quick to get outside you, and then you get burnt if you get two or three players going at that player. So we're doing a lot of work on it, but, yeah, we need to improve that.
Getting scunned on turnovers is another byproduct. I think with your team defence, you're going to be able to defend that a little better. And I did actually see that for the first time in that game on Saturday. I know you're smiling, but I didn't see it previously.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword a little bit, Stephen. So do you want to move the ball quick? Do you want to move it through the corridor? Yes and yes. Do you want to have turnovers? No. Well, sometimes you've got to have a bit of both. Yeah.
Some of that speed of ball movement from the back half to the forward half, we commented in the call bits, was just electrifying. Walshy? And that's a part of how you want to play?
Yeah, look, one of the things I talk to the players about, and it's one of my beliefs in the game, when it's played at the elite level, there's probably a couple of windows where you either get momentum or the opposition get momentum, and what you've got to do is really capitalise on that. So what happened in that third quarter on the weekend was Port had a little bit of momentum, they kicked points. When our window came, we kicked seven goals, and that's probably was the game right there and then.
They didn't convert. They had 11 points in a row.
Yeah, they did. And, look, not dissimilar to what happened the week before with... Yeah. When Adelaide couldn't convert. Hey, Phil, this, for want of a better term, the number one forward for the opposition. So against Geelong, it was Mitch Clark who was able to kick half a dozen. On the weekend, John Butcher got five goals. Is that something that you're concerned about in terms of we just haven't been able to... We stopped the number one forward, we haven't been able to stop the number two, or is that the case of we win and someone's got to kick the goals from the opposition?
Yeah, no, I'll probably put my hand up a little bit for the Geelong game. I probably haven't scouted Mitch Clark that he was going to be in as good a form as what he was, yeah. And we probably, we tried to get the extra number back in front of Hawkins, and Daniel Talia did a really good job on him as well. But a couple of times we probably got exposed one-on-one versus Mitch Clark. He did play really well, though. Yep. He kicked goals on a number of our players, though. It wasn't just one player. And John Butcher, what a lot of people don't know about John Butcher, he's got electrifying speed. Mm. And there was a couple, we've watched him back, obviously. There was a couple where I'm not sure too many people would have stopped him. So, it is an area. I don't want individual players bobbing up like that.
Mm. Before a ball was bounced, we had you in here, Walshy, and you said the defence is going to keep you up at night. Is that still the case?
I think what you saw on Saturday was when we had total buy-in and everyone contributing to team defence, I think we defended really well. As you know, though, you only need one or two guys off and then you get what happened to us versus Geelong. So that doesn't keep me awake at night, but I know that that's the area we've got to get right if we are going to get where we want to go.
We got an email from a listener. You lost the last quarter versus the Kangaroos. You lost the last quarter versus Geelong, and Port won the last quarter Saturday with 10 scoring shots to 5. Small sample, again, is that a concern?
Yeah, I wasn't happy structurally against Port, we did a couple of things really wrong with 10 minutes to go, so I was really disappointed with that. Against North Melbourne, though, I really think what happened then, it was a really windy day. I think you guys were there. Mm, it really favoured one end, and it was one of those ones where a team got the momentum going, and they're a very good team, and then it was a little bit too late to try and stop it. So, no, I've been really happy. If you want to talk fitness, I think we've really ticked all those boxes. But, yeah, the style of play, the how I want to play is a demanding style, but you've got to play it for the 120 minutes.
Jared Lyon's another one that at various stages has impressed. I think against Geelong he had some moments in the second half, particularly yesterday he looked to do some really good things. He's someone that's impressed you?
I was really happy with his game against North Melbourne. I haven't been quite as impressed in his next two games. He's a player that is really good inside player, and what I've seen, I think he's an elite kick. He's worked really hard on his fitness. Had a bit of a setback with a spider bite prior to Christmas. Yeah. But he's a player I've challenged him that this is the year you need to step up.
When we spoke to you before, you said you don't like the media. Warming?
Look, Steve, when I say I don't like the media, it was just something that I probably wasn't comfortable doing. I'd rather, you know, be with the players or planning next game. As the senior coach, I understand you have to do it. So I won't say I'm embracing it, but I realise I've got to do it. I'm talking to my fans. I've got to be out there. So I've done probably more media, I think, now than I've done in my whole 20 years of footy.
Well, we reckon you're good at it, mate.
So I think you say that just so I come back, Steve.
Oh, please. Please, definitely. What about praising your players?
No, I did. I did after the game. I said, look, it's very easy after the game to say, look, forget about the pre-season. You know, it's all about round one, which is true. But I also wanted to say, look, you did a really good job on Saturday. You should be proud of yourself. Let's enjoy it just for a moment because this game rolls on so quick.
Because the reason I asked, I've had a number of people that I've asked about your Walshy, which is what we do in this job, and like the Fonz couldn't say sorry, you're not big on praising. So you can hit that on the head?
No, I'd like to hit that on the head. Now, it's not for me to say, though. You know, we know what
it's
this
not a knock,
we know what this town's like. You know, you tell someone the truth in this town about footy, no one believes you. I think Johnny Reid said that once. You tell them a rumour and they think it's gospels. There's a little bit of that. Look, I probably don't show the warm Phil Walsh to the public, but as soon as we've stopped training or as soon as the game's finished, I basically have the 24-hour rule. Win, lose or draw, we're all friends again. And I'm a social person. I don't drink, but I have my fun.
Well done.
The media, the assembled media, were invited down to the club today and they spoke with yourself and David Noble and Andrew Fagan. One of the things you were talking to the group, you talked about trying to talk to every player each day. Yeah. Do you just want to explain that?
I think it's really important, and it's something I learnt along the journey. Is you can get caught in your office and stuck behind the computer. You think that's where the answers are. So without telling what I do, because I don't want the players to know, but I make a bit of an effort to get across and make sure that I've had a conversation with everyone every day. And if I haven't done that, I'll go and seek those players out, just so they know the senior coach cares about them. He's interested to see what they're up to and where they're going.
And how is the group at the moment in terms of health and morale? You were happy with where they're placed before round one?
Yeah, no, look, we got no excuses, Mark. So we've had a great pre-season. We've won two of three games, albeit it's a pre-season competition. We're really looking forward to showing what we can do round one Adelaide Oval, and we hope all our fans can get there and it can be a great day.
Another text here, 1-999-1395. Lukey Loudon, where's he at? Will he play this year?
Yeah. Now, we had a bit of a decision with Luke, so it's been documented that he came with some Achilles problem. We had a little bit of problem training on Thebit, and we trained him 2 days in a row. So the decision coming into this game was, do we play him in this game and then no one plays this upcoming week, or do we just give him two more weeks of training and he should play in the next SANFL trial game? I think it's against West Adelaide.
Oh, good. Just on that, I mentioned to Roy, I had some issues with a broken foot, probably similar to what Brad's got. Part of it was Max Bashir reserve when we were training at the time was like a bitumen road, and so training on a hard deck didn't help it. So I guess it's been flagged over the last couple of weeks about Thebiton. Is that something that may have contributed to Brad's injury?
Yeah, well, I haven't looked into that, but there is that possibility, Mark. I'll let the experts do that, but it's good news that Desi and his staff done a really good job after One Direction, and we should be back on the main deck at Amy tomorrow.
4 days off, the players. When do they get that in the CBA? Three. Yeah, oh, three. I read four. You're only giving them three? Or
Friday, Saturday, Sunday they're off.
They'll have the weekend off.
Yep, good. So I'll be doing the same. I'm going to leave the phone at home and try and go to KI for 3 days.
Oh, surfy, surfy.
Yeah, get a wave.
Mate, there's killer whales out there now.
Ah, they don't worry about me, mate.
not enough meat on your bones. Yeah, they worry about what about me. The sharks?
As long as there's a couple other guys in the water, you cut your wrist down by half.
Oh, do you?
Or
yeah.
You've only got to be a faster
someone
swimmer.
A bit deeper than me.
than one of them.
Walsh, any announcements? Any announcements? Are we looking forward to any announcements before round one?
In relation to?
Well, I didn't want to mention the word Paddy D or Rory Sloane or Richard Douglas or anybody.
Yeah, well, don't mention them then, mate.
Well, I just did. So any announcements?
Look, all I can say is the club's working really hard to get those
Excellent.
Signatures.
Yeah, well done.
Hey,
there you
Phil,
go.
Thank
go
you very much for coming into the studio. We appreciate it. Get the chance to eyeball you and talk to you, and I think the fans love hearing your thoughts as well. So good luck for the year. No doubt we'll catch up with you throughout the year, and we hope that everything goes as you would like.
Thanks for your support, Mark Stephen. Anytime.
Well done. Phil Walsh, our guest.